This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship. For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org or call 800-698-7884.
Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight in great joy. We thank you for this fantastic body that you've put us in. We thank you for the great works that you've accomplished in people's lives during this past year, and for a chance just to get together and celebrate that tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Yeah. Tonight, I'd like to share a few thoughts with you before we get started on the subject of Thanksgiving. Big theme in the Bible. For instance, 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place." So, you know, if you're being led in triumph by Christ, you should feel thankful about that. That's a rare privilege. How many people get to have Christ lead them in His triumph? And that's what He does. How about Ephesians 5:20? Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Or Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Then 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:15, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. That's what praising God is, giving thanks, feeling a... And you know, the Bible brings this up over and over again. I'm just throwing a few verses up here. The point is, you have to cultivate an attitude of appreciation, because, you know, if we're not actively thanking God, we're so selfish, we just start to take things for granted. And we feel, you know, we feel like things ought to come to me, you know, and we're just kind of upset that we don't get even more. And so anytime that we don't have that thankful spirit before the Lord, then our spiritual walk is just headed for the crapper real quick. This is a crucial part of spirituality, is daily cultivating that thankful attitude. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Boy, you know, I know we get together and pray, but do we focus also on times of thanksgiving when we do that? We need to do that. Tonight, I'd like to run through 10 things that I think we can be thankful for today, for in regard to Xenos, our fellowship. And I know we have a lot of other things that we could be thankful for. I guess we could be thankful that God's own Son died for us to rescue us, or the fact that we're going to live forever with God. There's plenty to be thankful for, but I just want to focus on one thing tonight. What about the fellowship that God's placed us in? What is there to be thankful for in that? Well, I'm thankful because God's put us in a church that, in the first place, is cell-based, as opposed to being program-based. A cell-based church, of course, is a church where your center of activity is out in neighborhoods and home groups. And these cells are constantly replicating and multiplying, and that's really the heart and thrust of what the whole thing is about, as opposed to a program-based church where you have a central staff that sets up programs and people work in those, and everyone has to come to the center to participate in these programs that are going on. Now, when we turn to the New Testament, we see a cell-based church. We don't see the program-driven church. And so we can be thankful, I think, that God has caused us to be placed, each one of us, in a fellowship that is cell-based, truly, and not just in word, but indeed, in truth. It's amazing to have a church where today we can say more people actually attend every week, more people attend cell-based groups, home churches, than do our big meetings. That's extraordinary. Where can you go to find a church like that? I, for one, am thankful that God has placed me as a servant of His in a church like that. I'm thankful tonight that our church is lay-driven, as opposed to a staff-driven church. I mean, we have a staff. We have some pros that work here. But, you know, if anyone that's a part of this church knows that what makes this church tick and what makes the action happen are the hundreds of committed, normal people that are out there serving God and laying down their life and serving Him day in and day out. Of course, when we open our Bible, that's exactly what we read, that the body of Christ is not one member, but many, that every member of the body has its own contribution to make. But how often this is really a dead letter in so many churches? I wonder if we really realize how unique and privileged it is that God's placed us in a church where people have believed this and bought into it. We're going to see people up here tonight recognized as proven servants of God, and we're going to add another 60 people that really deserve to be recognized as that. And we're now approaching 1,000 people on our servant team, and those are just the best of our servants. Every one of us knows perfectly well that there are that many more besides that are truly servants in our home churches and just haven't been publicly recognized yet. Well, I thank the Lord. You know, I mean, I feel thankful that it's that way. I mean, to be in a staff-driven church where you just come and have something presented to you by professionals, it's so different. You wouldn't believe the difference there is between that and this sense that is just unleashed in the church, that is widespread in the church, that ministry here is up to me. And man, what a difference it makes in the whole ethos of the church when people buy into that and live it. I thank the Lord for that. Today we can thank the Lord that our church is unified. Lately, I've been studying some of the correspondence that went back and forth. You know, 10 years ago and more, when we were having a big division in our church. And one of the things that you realize as you read that is, a lot of times I think we take our unity for granted. You know, it ain't always that way. But today we can look out at our church. It's more vast than it's ever been, and yet there is no battle going on between believers in our church. We're all together. We're all focused on the mission. That's a unified church. That's a blessing from God. We should thank God every day for the unity that we have. I'm glad and I'm thankful to the Lord that our church is a contentful church. Here we live, and a lot of us do take this for granted, because we live in a church where people really like to get the scriptures out and study the Word of God and to learn the deep things of the Word of God. And you know, in a lot of churches, it's just not that way. You could go to churches, even pretty good ones, that are really shallow. And the whole thing is just, you know, coming and being, there's a lot of inspirational type singing and inspirational talks and stuff, but you never really learn much. And, you know, I, for one, am really thankful to the Lord that we've got a church where people are into learning that Word of God. And when I open my Bible, that's what it tells me, is that we should study to show ourselves workmen approved, having no need to be ashamed and accurately dividing the Word of truth. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so thank the Lord that He's given us the opportunity to carry through on that. And you see hundreds, thousands of people earnestly digging deep into the Word. I'm happy about that. I think we should thank the Lord that we do have also an outward-focused church. You know, we were getting a little worried about this about a year ago, where it seemed like some of us might be losing this part a little bit, but everybody's really come before God and prayed about it, and I think we've recaptured this and placed it back where it belongs, right there up on top. That we're an outward-focused church. We're not inward. We're not a back scratching club. We're going to scratch each other's backs and try to, just please one another. But there, an awful thing happens to the church when they're not outward focused. They lose their heart for the lost. And we're living in an ocean of lost people that really need Christ. And for us to lose our heart for the lost, to lose our burden to where that doesn't burn in our hearts, that the lost have to be won for Christ. Oh my God, that's such an awful fate. May God spare us from ever falling into that. And I think by His grace, He is sparing us from that. The evidence is all around that we've got outward focus back, right from the ground all the way through the adult groups. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I thank the Lord that this is a discipling church that we're in. Here is a church that believes in discipleship, that there's such a thing as discipleship, and it's not reduced to some real shallow, 10-week exercise or something like that, but you have people really investing into the lives of others, one-on-one, and that is going on. We can basically determine that there's surely between 2,000 and 3,000 people in this church who are into discipleship relationships. And most of them, every week spending time, and we learn that we can help others grow, that spiritual growth is enhanced by that atmosphere of relationship and support and the active transmission of truth of God. And so that's why we see people in our church not just hanging around and existing, but actually growing spiritually and advancing. And I thank Almighty God that we've got a lot of discipleship going in this church and that people believe in that. We should thank the Lord too that our church is rich in koinonia. Because, I suppose a lot of you have never been to other churches that don't have this. It really helps, frankly, if you spend some time in a church where people just literally come in and listen to the program and walk out. There isn't the fellowship. There isn't the active exchange of life that's going on. People don't have time in their schedules to break down into smaller groups, to devote the time to invest in lives of others. So you wind up with where fellowship is a very superficial concept of shaking people's hands, or you turn around, shake the hand of the person behind you in church, and that's fellowship. And so it's so tinsel, it's so awful, it's a caricature of what God has in mind. But thank God that we live in a church where that's not the case. And we do have that privilege. It's a pure privilege to participate in groups where people are serious about fellowship and where people really do build into each other's lives and they care about each other. My God, am I thankful for that. And all of these things are from the Lord. None of these things I've heard people say, well, Dennis, we sure are glad that you made this a discipling church or whatever. It's not my idea. I didn't come up with any of this stuff. Gary didn't come up with it. We were taught these things. And thank the Lord that early in our Christian life, we came under some quality teaching and learned these very things from other people, from other believers, and have been able to pass that on, and then you have passed it on to others. But it's the Lord that's at work, and it's the Lord propagating exactly what He teaches in His Word. This is all biblical material that we're talking about. I'm really grateful when I think about the fact that our church is actually getting younger each year. I read a study some years ago that said the average age of the church attender in America today is 50 years old. Whew, man. And that was probably 8 or 10 years ago. I'll bet it's probably 60 now, because they just keep getting older and older. And we easily could have gone that way, because it was at one point it was looking like we were going to go that way. And by the grace of God himself, he's enabled an awesome student awakening to occur in his church that now embraces over 1,000 students. And the promise is there for much, much more to come. And this seems like it's just really nascent. It's really just getting started. And we'll disclose some of the findings on this if you come to the fiscal support team retreat. We'll be talking, we'll lay out all the facts in front of you. It's awesome. It's amazing. And this is one of the great blessings, really, of Xenos Fellowship at this particular time in our history, is that we are the stewards, by the grace of God, we are the stewards of a youth movement. And that is historically one of the most powerful things you can ever see, is getting hundreds and thousands of students on fire for Christ, and then that just becomes a life for them of fruit bearing, and the future is bright for us. It's bright. We'll see many of these students up here on this stage tonight as they have been propagating and replicating their groups all over the city. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now, you know, by God's sovereign working in our church, we've actually become a pretty generous group as the years have gone by. We can say with some justification that I think our church has become relatively generous. It was really cool to roll out, you know, an extra $70,000 worth of support for the poor this year on top of everything else, and have it met already and earlier in the year. To see us lay down another $60,000 off to the believers and church planters that came out here for the Summer Institute. And hopefully we're also going to meet our budget. Oh, that would be good. That would be the capstone on this. We're not there yet. And we do need to watch that. We do need to watch that. But I think we can do it. And I think we can, you know, if we deliver on what we pledged, then we will do it. Because remember, we raised to 95% of the budget this year is actually pledged. So, you know, and we'll definitely get the other 5%, but it's the 95. I mean, if we deliver what we said, why, we're going to be there. And this is going to be a great year, the most awesome year ever, easily, in terms of giving in this church. And I still believe we can do more. I don't think we've tapped this out. I believe there's growth to be had here, but I believe that we're really scoring solid in the area of generosity. Well, I thank the Lord, too, that our church is growing. You know, I was sharing with my home church, you know, it's the nature of living organisms to grow last night. And that's so true. That's just what you see in nature. And everywhere you turn with living organisms in nature, they do grow, and they do it by cell division. That's how they do it. And God has set that as his pattern in the body of Christ as well. And, you know, a church that isn't growing, particularly in a responsive field, which is what we live in. We live in a culture where people are interested in talking about spiritual things, where there is openness to Christ. There wouldn't be any reason for us not to be growing as a church, and that is the will of God, is to reach the lost. And this is really a point, too, isn't it? It's not just that Xenos is a growing church. That's actually not quite the point. The point is that we're growing through evangelism. Yeah. Now that's what's exciting to me. That's why I feel really grateful, because, you know, I talked to a friend of mine who does research for the biggest Protestant denomination, evangelical Protestant denomination in the country. And he was saying that in their research, they had studied one region of the country and found that over 90% of the church growth, of which there was a lot, but over 90% of it was just people transferring from other churches. And you know, so when we say that God wants us to bring in the harvest of people, he's not talking about harvesting believers from other believing churches. That's not the point at all. And yet a lot of church growth is this way. It's like whoever puts on the best service, people will transfer to that church to see that awesome service they're putting on. That's not what God wants. He wants us to get out and to reach the lost. And that is exactly what's happening in large numbers. We will certainly see several hundred people personally receive Christ in our church this year. And that is what I'm thankful for right there. So I'm not just giving out rhetoric here tonight. I hope that you spend time on a daily basis, more or less, and just awfully regularly sit down before the Lord and say, God, I thank you for placing me in a New Testament style fellowship like this, and for the spiritual health I glean from it, the opportunities for ministry and service I glean from it, and all the great things, edification. And God, I thank you from my heart for placing me here. Because it's not an accident that any of us are here. The Bible teaches that he has set the members of the body just as he wants them to be. And it teaches that he is building his body. And he's decided to include you in this part of it right here. And I think we should be really cultivating an attitude of thanksgiving on that. Otherwise, we'll just come to take this awesome blessing from God as for granted. And start to pick and even find fault in it, of which I'm sure there's a lot. There is a lot. But boy, the big picture, man, you got to get the big picture. And that big picture, I think, brings us to a picture of deep, heartfelt thanksgiving to God. And that will spread health into our whole spiritual life if we cultivate that attitude. Let's celebrate what God's brought in to the church this year. We're going to get...
This presentation is copyrighted, but you may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.